In this edition of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, Dan Horde tells us everything we need to know about the Bearcats football and basketball programs. Nobody knows more about it than Dan Horde. He's in the Hall of Fame at University of Cincinnati for his excellence as a play-by-play man for both of those particular sports. Got a lot of good things to say about the coaches, about the players, about the programs. You're going to enjoy Dan Horde and the UC Bearcats. Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And we are in the studios provided by First Star Logistics, and we have an extraordinary guest. Yes, we already talked to Dan Horde about Cincinnati Bengals and a lot of other things, but Dan Horde is a man that you can throw any subject at Dan Horde. He is so well-read. He is so intelligent. He will have an answer for you. There's no question about it. Now we're going to talk the Bearcats. And, you know, I mean, when you're in the James T. Kelly Athletics Hall of Fame, you know something about the Bearcats. And Dan Horde, of course, broadcaster extraordinaire, play-by-play man, football, basketball. Welcome once again to the show, Dan. Tell us about the Bearcats, my man. Are you excited about what's going on at UC?
I'm excited about being in a Power 5 conference at last. This is something that UC fans have hoped for and prayed for forever. Now it's happening. Cincinnati is going to be in the Big 12 as of July 1st. And it means so much to the university for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, the TV money that you get from being in a Power 5 conference. Cincinnati is going to go from making less than $10 million a year from TV to making more than 40 within a couple of years. And that's annual. That's not a one-time payment. It's not like they're going to get 30 more million dollars once. They're going to get 30 more million dollars every year, year after year after year. So imagine what that's going to do for building facilities, for paying coaches, for doing the kinds of things that you have to do to keep up in the recruiting world. And that's just part of it. It's not just the money. It's the exposure. It's playing the big-time opponents. It's having a fair opportunity on an annual basis to go to the college football playoff. They did it a couple of years ago, but everything possible had to go right for Cincinnati to have a chance. Now, going forward in the Big 12, if their football team wins the league, will likely be in the playoff, especially if the playoff expands to 12 teams.
Pretty strong, no question about it. So let's start with the Bearcats football team, because that's coming up the soonest here. Scott Satterfield, I had an opportunity to cover him when he was coaching earlier in his career at Appalachian State when I was doing Big 12 games. And they had that upset of Michigan, and then he was playing against a Big 12 team later that year. And it's like, this guy, when I started studying what they were, he's very, very cutting edge, innovative offensively. At least he was back then. I'm assuming that hasn't changed. Is that pretty much his MO?
It is. It's kind of interesting. When Brian Kelly was the head coach at UC, I remember talking to other members of the coaching staff, and they would say, Brian Kelly is the best play caller I've ever met. He just has this innate ability to call the right play at the right time. Well, when I've talked to members of Scott Satterfield's coaching staff, it's almost verbatim. They say the same thing. He has a knack. It's a knack for knowing what to call at the right time based on the opponent, based on their defensive tendencies, based on what they're doing that particular day. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it looks for real when Cincinnati takes the field. I can tell you this, there's one team in college football over the last 4 years that's averaged more than 200 passing yards and more than 200 rushing yards per game. That was Louisville, coached by Scott Satterfield. So his teams have had tremendous balance. He's had a lot of success with dual threat quarterbacks. I think that's likely to be the case this year. Emory Jones, at least right now, projects to be the starter. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it looks in year one in the Big 12.
So up front with the offensive line, you mentioned Emory Jones. They do have skilled players, obviously. Up front, is Landon Fickle, is he the best that they've got up front? Luke Fickle's son, is he one of the better guys up front?
He isn't likely to start. Landon's had some injury issues. He did not take part in spring football. He was off to the side with guys that were rehabbing. So he's going to be in a backup role, I would think, in this year. Offensive line's a question mark. I think the likely five starters are pretty solid. After that, depth could be a question mark, and that's not uncommon in college football. I think most teams would probably say the same thing, but you know, they've tried to fill some holes in the transfer portal. They're counting on some guys to step up and take their game to the next level. But like I said, I do think they've got at least five guys that will be able to give them solid play up front.
Offensive coordinator Tom Manning, Iowa State, in his background, you know, Big 12 familiarity there. What do you think?
They actually had a change there, Lap. So Tom Manning took the job and then left for an NFL job. So they brought in Brad Glenn from Virginia Tech. He's got a history with Coach Satterfield. We know that Virginia Tech has historically had very solid teams. So Scott Satterfield calls the plays. It's similar to the Bengals. Zach Taylor calls the plays. Obviously, Brian Callahan has a very significant role in setting up the game plan and is involved in, you know, deciding what the plays are going to be. It's going to be a similar situation at UC. It's going to be Scott Satterfield's offense with a very significant helping hand from Brad Glenn.
Kerry Combs is involved, obviously, still with the University of Cincinnati. I mean, he is as good a recruiter as I've ever met in my life. He bleeds not just red, but black and red, doesn't he?
He does. And I considered that to be a coup, that Scott Satterfield convinced him to stay at Cincinnati and be part of his coaching staff going forward. As you can imagine, Luke Fickle wanted to bring Kerry Combs with him to Wisconsin. When there was the coaching change, a bunch of schools reached out to Kerry Combs and offered a lot of money. I think he had NFL opportunities. He is a former NFL assistant coach with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. So for Kerry to consider all of his options and elect to stay home and help a new coach try to keep this thing rolling, like I said, I thought that was a coup for Scott Satterfield. And I respect Kerry Combs about as much as anyone that I've ever been around in coaching in any sport. And I just think he does a fantastic job of coaching as well. His reputation is as a great recruiter, and it's deserved, but he's also an excellent coach. Just think of how many first-round draft picks he helped develop at Ohio State. And, you know, the guys that he coaches at Cincinnati benefit from his attention to detail.
Let's talk a little bit on the defensive side of things. Brian Brown, the defense coordinator, came from Louisville. The base defense, 4-2-5, I mean, five DBs out in the field quite a bit, I'm assuming, still. And he'll pressure you now. He'll bring some heat, won't he?
Super aggressive, crazy aggressive, which Cincinnati saw in a bad way in the Fenway Bowl. They couldn't block these guys from Louisville that were coached by that staff. Brian Brown, I think, is a rising star in the coaching profession. And it's another, I think, strong statement about Scott Satterfield that Brian Brown has stayed with him because they have a tremendous relationship. And I think Brian's probably had some really good opportunities to go elsewhere had he chosen to. But they're going to bring it. They're going to bring it all the time from all over the place. Louisville led the NCAA in sacks last year. They had more than 50. It's a very appealing style to linebackers and defensive linemen. Cincinnati has some great guys up front led by Dante Corleone. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this group does getting after the quarterback in year one.
How's Walter Stewart doing on the coaching staff?
Walt Stewart's doing well. He's the D-line coach, former Bearcat player, went off and coached elsewhere before he came back and was hired by Coach Fickle and elected to stay with Scott Satterfield. So he's one of those guys that really identifies with college players, and then they identify with him because he's young, he's energetic, he still looks like he could play, which probably never hurts. And I think he did a really good job with the D-line last year, and I'm happy he elected to stay with this new coaching staff.
So what are your overall thoughts? Give me three keys that you think are keys to success for the Bearcats football team this year.
Well, it definitely starts with Emory Jones. Yeah. I thought that Ben Bryant did a really solid job last year as the starting quarterback, and now he's elected to transfer back to where he's from in Chicago and play for Northwestern, and I hope he has a great year for the Wildcats. But whenever you have a change at that position, that becomes the number one question mark going into the season. And Emory Jones is an interesting guy. He was the starter at Florida 2 years ago, led the Gators to a winning record and a bowl game, put up pretty good numbers in the SEC. Then he transferred to Arizona State It was kind of a messy season for Arizona State. They fired Herm Edwards 4 games into the season. The whole year was kind of a mess. So he looked at his options for this year. He saw the success that Scott Satterfield had with Malik Cunningham as a dual threat quarterback at Louisville and thought, you know what, this offense should be the right offense for me. So that's the number one question mark by far. Secondly, I would say it's the step up in competition going to the Big 12. Can you survive the weekly gauntlet that you're going to get week after week, and you know, injuries and attrition that happens from playing that level of competition on a weekly basis? And then defensively, I would say they're really solid up front. They're going to have one of the better defensive lines in the Big 12 right off the bat. It's the other spots, linebacker and secondary. Are those guys, you know, I think they're good enough, but are they really good for that level of competition? And as we know, in the Big 12, they throw it around a lot. So yep, you better get good play from your cornerbacks and your safeties if you're going to hold up defensively in that league.
No doubt. Or get pressure and not let the quarterback, you know, have that much time to think about it and hurry his reads and his throws and all that sort of thing. Top 10 defense, the Black Cats were last year. I mean, do they have the potential to be that type of defense, do you think, again?
Hard to say. Like I said, the only known, the given, is the defensive line. Dante Corleone from Coleraine High School was the number one graded defensive lineman in the country by Pro Football Focus. He is a beast as a nose tackle or a three technique. Juwan Briggs out of Walnut Hills High School went to Virginia, then came back home to play for UC, is a grown man. He's one of the strongest players in college football. He's a married father of two. You know, he seems like he's as mature as, probably more mature than you or me. And they've got good edge rushers as well. So they're really, really strong up front, but they've had attrition at linebacker and defensive back, whether it's been graduation, going to the NFL, transferring with the opportunity to transfer as a one-time transfer and play immediately somewhere else. So those are going to be the question marks in a tougher league to be strong statistically on defense. But I do think, especially with that D-line and with this coaching staff, that they've got the opportunity to create some havoc and force some turnovers, and hopefully that'll be the case.
It's going to be exciting. And I will say one thing, having experienced travel in the Big 12, it's the drive and fly league, man. When you're talking Stillwater, Oklahoma, you know, and little towns like that, you're a good ways away from major airports. But the good news for you is I was flying commercially. These charter flights are going to help you big time, my man. It's going to help your travel.
Well, it certainly helps getting home for a Bengals home game on a Sunday. Right. That's easy because the team will leave as quickly as they can after a road game, and you always know you're back in Cincinnati in time for the next morning. It's road game to road game that gets a little bit tricky.
Yep.
The NFL schedule came out and doesn't look too bad for my travel purposes, my own personal version of the Amazing Race. The trickiest one is Oklahoma State on a Saturday to San Francisco on a Sunday. So we'll be rooting for an early kickoff in Stillwater that day. I'm not sure if I'll be driving to Oklahoma City or Tulsa to fly to San Francisco, but whenever you travel west, yep, you gain hours, and that's a little bit easier. So I'm sure that will be doable. Basketball schedule is not out yet, so that will add some more complications, but we'll find a way to get it done.
I'm sure that'll be the case, and I know, being the professional you are, you'll do one hell of a job, man. That is a challenge, though. People don't understand that. I can totally identify with what you're doing, man. It's unbelievable what you're getting done. So you mentioned basketball, the schedule not out yet. Let's go to basketball. And before we get to the basketball program at UC, I mean, just a quick comment. I was heartbroken what happened with Huggs. I know you're friends with Huggs. I'm friends with Huggs. Just a comment about Bob Huggins. I mean, that's just, to me, it was sad to take in, no question.
Yeah, that's a good word to describe it. It is sad. It's sad that his tremendous Hall of Fame career ends on that note. Obviously, it was self-inflicted. Nobody can deny that. But Bob Huggins was great to me. And we share a bond over our mutual love for Chuck Mayshock. his friend forever, my great broadcasting partner for many, many years. So it hurt me personally that that happened because of my friendship with Coach Huggins, but it's not going to obscure the fact that he had an unbelievable career and he left so many indelible memories for UC fans in the years that he was in Cincinnati. Those teams were amazing. If Kenyon Martin didn't break his leg, Bob Huggins probably has a national championship. Yep. So I hope he finds peace in retirement. I hope he spends time with his friends and family, and I hope to get the opportunity to visit with him sometime in the future.
Well, the UC basketball program, Dan, I mean, don't have to tell you, it's historic, really. I mean, over 1,800 wins. I mean, a couple of national championships, six Final Fours. I mean, UC has had success on the hardwood. Wes Miller, star, isn't he? I mean, he's big time.
I think so. Yeah, I think he's a rising star in the coaching profession. College basketball coaching has become such a grind now with NIL and the transfer portal. They used to get some time off in the spring, in April and May. There's no time off. The NCAA is going to have to legislate time off for college basketball coaches because they don't get any. They have to find a spot on the calendar where they say, listen, coaches, you can have no contact with recruits for 3 weeks in August or whatever you want it to do, so these guys can have some semblance of a life, because they don't have one right now. But Wes Miller is indefatigable. I mean, he eats, breathes, sleeps it all the time. Those efforts are paying off. I had the opportunity to attend a practice recently. They are allowed to do things a couple times a week this time of year. He's got seven newcomers, and he's got some players. I think Cincinnati is back to being an NCAA tournament team this year, and it's going to be really fun to watch it unfold in the toughest conference in the country.
Transfer portal had some good luck there, getting seven footers. CJ Frederick from Kentucky, get him in the portal. Aziz Bandigo, am I saying that right?
Bandigo. Yep.
And then CMOS Lukosha. Lukosius?
Close enough. Lukosius.
Lukosius?
Yep.
6'7" transfer out of Butler. I mean, hitting that transfer portal pretty strong, isn't he?
Well, you have to. And let's throw in Jameel Reynolds as well from Temple, another big-bodied guy. So, yep. Jameel, I'm going to start with Jameel Reynolds. We saw him play against UC with Temple, and you know, just kind of a classic low post score, good with either hand, catches it on the low block, wide backside. You're not going to move him off the post. But the knock on him was always he was a little too heavy. It was something like 280 at Temple, maybe a little less than that. I'm not sure. Well, he's already down 20-some pounds at UC just from being here for, you know, several weeks, working with Mike Rayfeld, their great strength and conditioning coach. They call it the Monster Factory. And Jameel Reynolds is already benefiting from that. So I think he could really be helpful in the Big 12, where every team seems to have great physical big guys. Aziz Bandigo might be the best shot blocker in the country. I think he was third in that stat last year. Cincinnati saw him in the NIT, had 15 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks against the Bearcats. So right. It's nice to take a guy that kicked your tail head-to-head. I don't think I've ever seen a guy, Lap, that jumps as high as he does, as quickly as he does. It's similar to Kenyon Martin, but he's about 4 inches taller. So, you know, they have those vertical tests where they've got the sticks kind of on a post and you jump up and you slap the sticks. When he did that with no running start, no building up your momentum, it was basically 12 feet. So, you know, your hand is more or less at the top of the backboard. Yeah. With no running start. So that's amazing. CJ Frederick is one of the best pure shooters in college basketball. He was able to show that on a consistent basis at Iowa. Unfortunately, he had some injury problems at Kentucky. But if you leave him an open shot, he's going to make it at least 40% of the time from outside the arc. So, CMOS Lukosius, it was interesting seeing him in person for the first time. I had seen him play for Butler against Xavier a little bit and had a tremendous game against Xavier in the Big East tournament a couple of years ago. He's sturdier than I expected. He's got a good, strong physique on him. He's got a really good outside shot. you know, smart player, good passer, good game. So I think all of these guys are really going to help.
You know, you mentioned not only jumping ability, but ability to get off the floor quickly. I'll tell you, playing high school basketball, the guys that really made me think twice were the ones you get them off the feet with a good play fake, a pump fake, and then you think, and they're so, they hit the ground, they're up in a tenth of a second. It's like they're a kangaroo. I mean, they're not on the ground long. It's like they're up and down. It's like, oh my gosh, I pump faked him. What's that? How's he able to get up like that again so quickly? Those are the guys. It's like, oh boy, it's going to be a long day, man. These guys are good.
No question about it. And in the practice that I went to, Aziz Bandego had an offensive rebound dunk where he didn't bend his knees or gather. It didn't seem like, I mean, he grabbed the ball and just sprung back up and dunked it in. I'm not quite sure I had ever seen anybody do it the way he did it. I expect them to at least have to flex their knees and gather and go back up. And he just like caught it and put it right back in with a slam. So he's something. I think he's an NBA talent, and it's going to be fun to watch him continue to develop, because he went from not really doing much at Akron a couple of years ago to being a star at Utah Valley last year. And if he continues to grow the way he did in that one year, he could really be something.
What about Wes's coaching staff, Dan? Josh Leffler, is that a pretty good get?
Yeah, I met him for the first time at that practice. He came from Johns Hopkins with a great reputation. I really am impressed with Wes Miller's coaching staff from top to bottom, not just his assistant coaches, but all the support staff. I mean, you've got so many people on a college basketball staff these days, and they play important roles. And it seems to me that from top to bottom, he just has top-notch people that do a great job in whatever their assigned role is, but, you know, get along well with the other coaches, get along well with the players. You don't see any sign of, you know, any friction at all. And I've seen that on coaching staffs before. You know, when you get 10 guys or whatever it is on a coaching staff, there's usually a couple of guys that don't get along that well. And, you know, they'll make snide remarks about each other to other people. I don't see any of that with this coaching staff. It's really tight and really talented. And that's one of the things that's really impressed me about Wes Miller.
You know, I think that the common denominator with what you're talking about in Bearcat land and in Bengal land is that, you know, boy, everybody gets along. The environment is good. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody looks forward to working with each other every day. I mean, that stuff is, can't put a price tag on. That's big time, isn't it?
It is. And I think one of the other similarities too, is that on the Bengals coaching staff, you have guys in position coaching roles who have been coordinators elsewhere. So in a sense, it's kind of a step backward in terms of the responsibilities, but they don't look at it that way. They know they're all part of the same thing, the same goal, trying to win a championship. And that's true at UC on the basketball program as well. You've got guys in support roles that had quote unquote assistant coaching roles previously, but they don't look at it as a demotion. They're there for West, and they're there to try to win a Big 12 title going forward. And when you have guys that are willing to do that, that have had a wide variety of experiences, that can only help you in the long run.
Dan, I can't thank you enough for all the time that you carved for us today, because I know you're a busy man. I know you're about to get a lot busier, but before all that hits, I know you're going to have a little time to charge the battery. So get the jumpers going, man. Charge that battery. Here we go.
We're off to Europe. It's going to be a true vacation for me and my wife, Peg, and my son, Sam, unlike Grandpa Dave Lapham, who goes on vacation and works even harder playing with those grandkids. You're exhausted by the end of the day when you go on vacation.
I'm telling you, you need a vacation from the vacation. But it's all good. It's a blast. There's no question about it, man. Keep you young, right? That's the name Absolutely. Of the game. Dan, thanks again. Have the best day you ever had, my man.
Thanks, buddy. Look forward to hanging out with you beginning July 26th.
Yes, sir. Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.